It's like I'm trying to tell my kids, like, trust me, you're going to like the steak medium or medium rare. Just trust me. Let's just try it out. And sometimes you have to force feed them. But it's like until they realize it themselves, they're not going to figure it out.
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. Hey, it's Lisa. Have you ever had the experience where your child comes home and says, I want to be in a band? And so you buy a drum set and some earplugs, and after about a week of ear-splitting noises from the garage, you realize with relief and then concern that you're not hearing them practice anymore. And then you start giving them little reminders to which your child doesn't respond, wow, mom, thank you for the gift of music you've sacrificed to give me. I'm going to put in my 10,000 hours now. But rather starts avoiding it and avoiding you, and then asks you to sign a daily chart of all the practices you know they haven't done. Otherwise, they'll fail band, and it's a whole thing. And meanwhile, you're still paying for the drum set? Oh, just me. Motivating kids is hard. Was it Newton who said, for every action or force, there is an equal and opposite reaction? Yeah, well, for every time I tried to force my kids to do something I felt was really important and good for them, I also felt an equal and opposite reaction. It's a law of nature or something. And so I dug deep for this episode and reached out to someone who knows a lot about a lot of things that I know nothing about. And I do mean nothing. I might have underplayed that a little bit when we were in the studio together to hide my ignorance. But today's guest is Kalani Sitake, who, on top of being a proud father and genuinely down-to-earth guy, is also the legendary head football coach at Brigham Young University. Kalani has built a reputation and a career out of helping young people reach their potential. And he's learned some things about motivation along the way. You'll hear him talk about his own journey and how that informs his approach both as a coach and as a parent. And this is probably just my ignorance about sports talking. I don't know. But as a person who has experienced football more through Friday Night Lights, through the lens of Coach Taylor and his lovely wife, Tammy, clear eyes, full hearts can't lose, I don't know, than my own lived experience, I was expecting to hear tips about grueling, rigorous training schedules or how to give impromptu pep talks, which turn into life-changing turning points. And that's not at all where this went. The secrets to motivating yourself and your kids, according to Kalani Sitake, are much closer to the heart. When you meet somebody at the grocery store and they're like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. Who are you? What do you do? How do you answer?
Well, I think sometimes it all depends on what they need. Because yeah. Sometimes they ask me for, like, where the snacks are at. And I probably know that aisle way too well.
Where are the snacks, by the way? Yes,
yeah, and
please.
I'll tell them. It's like, you know, in 14, and if you're looking for chips, it's on closer to the register. Stuff like that. But, no, I'm going into my 10th year as a head coach here, and I can't believe 10 years flew by.
Yeah, like that. 10 years. When you were growing up, did you always feel sort of motivated and, you know, had a goal in mind, like, someday I'm going to be a head coach?
No, I that wasn't even part of it. I think for me was, when I was young, I just really shy, didn't have any idea what I wanted to do. I know I loved football and I loved BYU, but just wanted to play the game because I loved it. I mean, when you're from that community in La'ie and in the North Shore, you're just playing ball. That's expected of you. So I learned how to play all the sports at La'ie Park. And it wasn't really common back then to see a lot of Islanders on the football field. I think you had them in the West Coast a little bit, like Hemuli and people that looked like me, like Vaisa Kahama and the Anais. All these guys from that area were playing football and at BYU. So it was just knowing them and seeing them. I mean, these are people that I would see at the park that I knew already, and I knew their names, and so I could connect with them. That was really cool that I could see them on TV. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I kept thinking, well, maybe I could do that too. And having a goal in mind got me more than I even thought I could. Mm-hmm. I fell short of my goal one, playing in the NFL, but look how far I got. Like, I got there, and that was the motivation, is that other people have done it and thought that maybe that could be me someday.
Kalani's personal heroes gave him the courage to dream big. And that includes both the players he got to know in La'ie and later saw on TV, as well as the quiet example of character and strength that he saw in his own father. To this day, Kalani credits his resilience to a lesson he learned from his dad.
There's things that happen to you in life, and then how you're going to respond to it is basically going to dictate the rest of it. And so maybe 10% of your life is things that's happened to you. For me, my parents divorcing, and I was a young age, being raised by a single father, things like that. That's kind of what you've been dealt with. So how are you going to respond? You know, how are we going to make up the difference as a family, and things like that? And how am I going to be helpful to my father as a son? And so when you start looking at things like that, it's like my dad's taught me quite a bit in how to respond to things. And when we were growing up, he actually had a couple jobs, and he worked these jobs so that he can spend more time with the kids at games and practices and stuff like that and watch them. So he'd work late nights, and one job was a custodian. And, once in a while, he would ask me and my siblings to come help him. We'd just go clean, and sometimes they'd have like a company party or something like that, and he needs help with it. So we'll go help him, and it's kind of like us to spend time with our father. And sometimes it was late at night, and we just, you know, we didn't have much, but it was cool to have each other and know that my dad was doing these things so that he can spend time with us. And so there's one day that we were with him to help him, and it was like a complete, probably way messier than I thought it would be that we've ever seen. And the place was just a wreck. And I was in a bad mood. I'm like, what, are you kidding me? Like, who are these people? And we're just kind of cleaning it up, and we're going through each office. My dad says, oh, yeah, there's a change in ownership. And so a lot of the people got laid off. And so their reaction was to make a mess in the building. So we're cleaning up the building, and I'm like, well, they need to grow up. And I'm just a young kid. Like,
totally.
Because I'm really upset that I have to clean this stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Normally you'd vacuum, and there's nothing to vacuum. Now there's stuff out on the ground. But anyways, I was frustrated at that. And my dad had the best attitude, and he was telling me and my siblings about this office and who this person was. He knew about them. He knew who they were. And he would kind of go through each office.
Oh, wow.
It was kind of a cool thing that he would just talk about just the people that got released from their job. And at the end of it, we're done cleaning, and we're getting ready to go home. And I said, man, Pops, I'm so glad that you were able to keep your job. And he said, oh, this is Daddy's last day at work. So he takes his keys.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, takes his keys, puts it on the table, and we leave. And that's like, I was frustrated. I'm like, man, what did we just do if you were fired? But like, that's how my dad handled life, you know? Like, he wanted to finish the job and do things the right way. Take the high road, be humble, be kind and everything. So that's the man that raised me. And so this is it was a cool experience for me and my siblings to see. And what he had every right to be just as angry as some of those others.
Do a good job.
Yeah, and then he didn't want us to judge them on one bad moment, you know? And so that's been really helpful for me in my life and seeing things and empathizing with people because, you know, we were hurting too because we didn't have money after that happened. And so, you know, I can understand where people are coming from and families and things like that and people that have difficulties. And so that's not easy. But, man, I'm thankful that I have a father that thinks like that and just doesn't act. I mean, he doesn't expect me to tell the whole world. He didn't do that so that I could be a head coach someday and tell everybody about it. But, I mean, it's super special to have. And all of us are just like that. We're capable of being superheroes like my father was for me.
I love Kalani's definition of a superhero. The intentionality of acknowledging when others have hurt you without lowering your own standards for how you want to show up in the world. And without assuming the worst of them. That takes so much humility, compassion, and wisdom. And I feel so inspired by that. And also by the fact that this happened at a very vulnerable moment for his dad, which Kalani understood even as a kid. He wasn't insulated from the struggle or the hard work that his father had pushed through to provide for them and show that integrity. It was something that Kalani also noticed in other family members and areas of his life.
My grandpa, he just knew so much about life. And it's interesting because he grew up in Tonga. So it's not like he knew what it was like to be here, but he came to the U.S. and to San Mateo in California and brought the whole family over. Mm-hmm. And throughout the next few decades, it's like these little lessons that you learn just being around him, you know, seeing him for some of the strengths that he had, but also some of the faults, things that he struggled with. It just made me a lot closer to him, you know, knowing that he wasn't perfect. And he never tried to act like it either. You know, he would say things like, I don't feel like going to church today. you know? And I'd be like, yeah, me neither. But he's like, but we're going to get dressed and we're going to go to church. I'm like, all right.
Like, wait.
Yeah, I was like,
I thought this was going to go in a different direction.
Yeah. But it's but he would say things like, hey, I don't want to go work right now either, but this is what's required of us.
But we're going to.
Yeah, and I remember being able to just voice my opinion to him and have him acknowledge it. Like, say, I don't want to go help that family move.
Yeah. Like that doesn't sound like fun.
Yeah. This is going to be hard on me.
Yeah. I've got other things to do.
When I would say that to him, he allowed me to say that thing to him. And yet we're walking over there to go help them. You know, it's okay to.
But now we do it. It's okay to say that you don't want to be human.
Exactly.
And then do the right thing.
But he always followed it up when we're done. He would say, how you feel now? And I said, I feel great. You know, so when you're a player, it's like, I don't feel like going to the gym right now.
Yeah.
I don't feel like working out. You just kind of get used to just doing what you, it's not comfortable. So you're used to getting out of your comfort zone. You realize that's really not that hard once you start doing it. And so he taught me that. And then, you know, I could feel his presence at every game.
The lesson Kalani learned from his grandpa was that it was okay to acknowledge all of the negative feelings that discouraged him from being your best. He didn't have to pretend to love the work of serving others or serving his family or serving God all of the time. It was a perfectly appropriate thing to process while you put your shoes on to go and do anyway, because it was worth it, and those feelings won't last. In the example of his grandfather and his father, Kalani got to see his heroes confront the real pain and struggle of being human. And the way they shared that with him without trying to hide it shaped who he is today as a coach and father.
Being a father is one of the best blessings I've ever been given. And it's a struggle. I think sometimes I'm trying to figure out, because you love them so much, it's weird. You want to just have everything done for them.
You want to give them everything.
Exactly. But sometimes that could be a negative, you know, where you, because you want so much for them that they just kind of have to figure things out. I mean, I'll give you an example. If my three children that are older now, if I were to say, hey, don't touch that, it's hot, I think my oldest would just maybe put her hand by it and say, yeah, it's hot. My second oldest would probably be like, let me see you touch it first. And then my son would probably be like, let me do this and see if it's really hot. I don't know. I mean, they're all
reacting. Yeah, they're all
differently.
React differently, for sure.
So the same set of rules, it doesn't really apply to every one of them. And I think we want, even as a coach, I want to teach this person this technique.
Yeah.
But maybe his learning method isn't the same as everyone else. So I have to be the flexible one. It would be nice if everybody would just buy in and just fall in line like the oldest one did, you know?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, that'd be nice, but but that's not
simple.
Realistic. Yeah. No. But I think sometimes as parents, we try to do that.
Mm-hmm. When you say, I'm the one that has to be flexible, I go, oh, that's so true.
It's true. And sometimes parents, we don't want to do that, but we have to be the example. So we have to be flexible. We have to be the ones to be vulnerable. And honestly, it's okay to not have it all figured out. I think the hardest thing for me was just like, I just had to admit to my daughter, hey, I'm trying to figure this out too. When she was 14, I was like, I've never been a father of a 14-year-old. So I'm trying to figure this stuff out, you know?
Yeah, show all your cards, parenting.
Yeah.
Is kind of what, like that moment is what I say.
And this generation, I think they can understand that. They appreciate it. Our generation is different. It's just like, you do what you're told.
Yeah.
And then you kind of just figure things out, sometimes by your own experiences. And I don't think that really applies to this group.
I do think it's different. I'm glad that you brought that up. I'm wondering, have you noticed any common motivation techniques or goal setting techniques that just work across the board, either in parenting or in coaching?
The first thing is that when you say something, everyone questions it. We did too.
Yeah, but maybe internally.
Yes, that's right. Like, okay, I'm going to trust you, but like, I hope that really makes sense. I hope that's really true. These kids, they have something called technology to turn to.
Yeah.
I remember a few years back, I'm trying to work through some things with my daughter, and it's on matrices in math. I'm like, I don't know this.
Yeah.
But if I try to fake it, she would know already, right? So it was easy for me. I was like, I don't know this. Let's try to figure it out. And we looked it up on YouTube. But it's okay for us to relearn things even with our children, and it's okay for them to see that we don't have it all figured out. But I get the most out of just saying, hey, let's work on this together.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes hard to do because as a parent, I just want to tell you what to do. And
I'm
you trust
save
me.
You so much time. And
it's like I'm trying to tell my kids, like, trust me, you're going to like the steak medium or medium rare. You know, just trust me. Let's just try it out. And sometimes you have to force feed them. But it's like until they realize it themselves, they're not going to figure it out. I don't know. I think it's okay as a parent for me. I take a lot of comfort in knowing that I don't have all the answers. And And I realize that if you're a parent, if you're a father or a mother that says, like, I just need to do better and I got to find a way to be better for my kids, then you're probably a good parent.
Kalani embraces the process of working to get better, learning alongside his kids, and letting them see him learn, even if what he's working on is just being a parent. And that mentality is what allows him to sustainably improve himself while helping others do the same. It's a combination of being honest about mistakes and a firm belief that being good at anything requires putting in the work over time.
I think just being present and just trying, you can overcome. I tell it to the team, I tell it to our players all the time, that you can overcome any mistakes with energy and effort. And I think that even applies to life and even as a parent. Like, it's okay if you make mistakes as a parent, you can overcome it with your energy and your effort. And effort means that you try to make it better and you try to do better and you try to work at it and you're present, you're there.
Yeah.
You know, so
you're in it with them.
Yeah. I've been a victim of this where I felt like I had to have it all figured out.
Right.
It's like you remember reading all these books about what it's going to be like to be a parent.
Oh, yeah.
And then you made statements with your, like, yeah, when we have our kids,
yeah, we're not going to,
that'll
let them
never
do this.
Happen.
Yeah. They'll,
you know,
never disrespect us,
yeah,
in public.
Yeah. And
they'll never question our authority.
They'll go to bed at this time.
Yeah.
And
they'll be on a schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, they will be.
Us.
Yeah, and you make all these things, and you can read as many books as you want about it, and then,
oh, yeah,
baby shows up, and you just kind of like, let's just figure it out.
What day is,
yeah,
it? What are we doing?
Yeah. Yes. Why is church 9 a.m. again this, right, year? You know what I mean? Stuff like that.
Did you ever like call your mom and be like, I'm so sorry?
I think that allowed me to be closer to my dad, especially,
yeah,
like when I realized, like, my goodness, like, it makes sense how much you love me.
In the same way that Kalani learned that you don't have to bury feelings of resistance or fatigue when faced with hard work, he also knows that it's okay not to know what you're doing all the time, even when you're the person in charge. On the field or at home, good things happen when you accept what you don't know so that you can keep learning and growing. And speaking of things you don't know, you heard us talking just a moment ago about how hard it can be to try to give your hard-earned wisdom to your kids, right? Like when the topic is something inconsequential, like, come on, try the steak medium rare. This is just funny. But all parents know that it applies to much harder and more serious things where you wish your kid would just trust your leadership and let you save them the trouble of learning the hard way. This idea of trust was something I wanted to ask Kalani about. As a parent and as a coach, in that position of authority, how do you balance trust with vulnerability? When do you know when it's time to connect and let them figure things out versus when you have to step in and say, hey, this just has to be the way it is because I'm in charge? How do you know?
When we were little, you remember being told what to do and mm-hmm. you had to show respect.
Oh, yeah.
And in some ways, you didn't feel like you were getting respected. They weren't giving you respect, too. And it's like the concept of learning by punishment compared to love. When everything's a fear-based concept, like if you don't, yeah, do this, there's spanking, we're taking things away.
Yeah,
things
withholding.
Like that. Yeah, we've been used to that. But when we were raised that way, you just learned to survive the punishment. You're not learning as much as you can. You learn to a certain amount, but like you're not really learning exactly what they want you to do. And then you learn a different way because you're so focused on the punishment. And it's weird because people say, well, that's your way is such a soft way. Well, that's the way Christ taught. I mean, it's like the...
Also is effective.
Yeah, but it's not soft at all. It's hard. It's hard when you're,
hard
when you're frustrated at your child because they're not listening, and then you have to just swallow your pride, and you have to just work with them, and you have to look in the eyes and say, hey, listen, I love you. We got to figure this out. I'm disappointed at this, but we're going to work on this together. That goes way further than you're going to do exactly what I say, or I'm going to take your phone away, you know, and we can all do that, but that only has a little bit of value. It doesn't going to give you much in return. And so I realized that if I just take my kids' time away, they get frustrated. I mean, I've had my daughter say, could you just spank me? This is like, let's get
oh
this
gosh.
Over with.
Because just get on with the day. I got things to do.
The lecturing,
yeah,
right?
Like,
so
yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah, we're going to sit down. We're going to have a lecture. You start reading things on how to be a leader and how to be better. And it all correlates. I don't know why it mattered, but when we were younger, like a clean room mattered. You
yeah.
know? So like everybody's like, hey,
it was a big topic of discussion
clean
in the
your
Valentine
room.
Home.
You know, like parent walks in and says your room's a mess.
Yeah.
So you learn how to clean it. You shove it underneath the bed.
Yeah.
And you just give this look of like being clean. And
you shut the door.
Yeah. And then when they open it, they're like, okay, this is suitable, but it's not really clean. No. I would get frustrated. Something as simple as that, like clean your room. And I read somewhere that if you really want to make an impact, then try this. And so I tried a different way. And it was really talking about, as a leader, delegating is not a good way to do things, or even barking orders.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried it out. This is an experiment. I tried it. I went down and talked to my daughter, and we were just talking about something. And I had to be deliberate. Like, I want to go talk to her about life, about whatever, okay, and about boys. You know, as a dad, if you want their trust, you got to talk about things that you're not comfortable with.
Right.
So go down. I talk to her about, like, how everything's going. I want to talk about things that are interesting to her. And we start talking, and her room's a mess. And I just had to, like, bypass it. But I just started the experiment. I just started cleaning up. I started picking up things as we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
And she started doing it with me. Next thing you know, half an hour later, the room's clean, like really clean. Right. And then we had a great talk. And I was like, oh my goodness, this works. Nobody cares how much you want things done. But if you're not willing to help them, then it's not really worth your time. So if a clean room's important to you, but you don't want to help them clean, then don't ask for that. You know what I mean? I don't know. That was huge for me, that I actually enjoyed the talk more. I enjoyed a clean room. And so I figured out if I want to be in it with them, I have to actually be willing to do it with them. And if I'm going to ask them to do stuff, then I should be doing it too. If I'm going to ask them to speak kind and to be nice, then I better do it.
Yeah.
Like, I better be nice, and I better speak good to my family and to my wife and to people that they see me around, you know? So it's hard for me to be kind to other people and then come home and be mean to my kids. You know, so I think that's going to be
such a good point.
Yeah, and I think it correlates with everything. And I started realizing that in football, that works quite a bit too.
Yeah, what is the correlation? How do you do that in a situation where you're not a parent, but you're a coach?
Well, if you want a young man to watch more film because he's not studying enough, then just get involved with him studying film. Invite him to come watch film with you. And then ask him to just watch with you. And then it becomes fun. Maybe he doesn't know certain things. So I realize this about people, not just young people. If we don't know, sometimes we just try to act like we do.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Fake it till you make
just,
it.
Yeah, yeah, it's just like, it might be even be really small, but mm-hmm. like, we are learning machines, so we want to know. And especially if it's something that can help me perform better be better. So, like, they want people that want to help them become better. It's all those little things. Like, we've been talking to our team about taking care of yourselves and your bodies and stuff like that. And so I'm sitting there going, well, you know what? I need to start doing a better job of that too. That's hard, especially when you're about to turn 50, mm-hmm. you know, your metabolism is not the same.
It's
changing. I look at a crouton and I gain a pound, you know, and these guys can eat whatever they want.
Yep.
I think to a certain degree, you should be able to model what you want them to see and what you want them to do. I think, I mean, I'm talking about the physical stuff, but it's really like the nurturing stuff. If you want them to be respectful and speak better, then, then you do it. And when you speak to them especially, that's where you really have to do it the right way. And then you'll gain trust. You don't even have to it'll just automatically just start to form right there.
According to Kalani Sitake, building trust in a mentorship role requires asking young people only for what you are also willing to do yourself. So what happens when they still need a push?
I tell this to our team, and this has been kind of our focus this year, is that you have goals, and I think it's important to have goals and to write down your goals, whether they're short-term or long-term. Mm-hmm. I think it's okay to have a daily goal, a monthly goal, where you see yourself in 6 months and where you see yourself in a full year. I think it's good to write those down, but those don't become accomplished by themselves or just having them written down. I know people say just write them down and read them every day, but you have to be willing to take the path to getting them done, which is usually a bridge of discipline. So you try to get them concerned and just focus on self-discipline, on how you can schedule yourself and build a structure where you can get these things accomplished. When they start putting it together and they put it on paper, then they start realizing, okay, if this is important to me, I need to get my rest. I need to be spending this much time on this. If I want to get great grades, then maybe just going to class and doing my homework isn't enough. Maybe I need to spend some time away from doing it. And so intrinsically, they create a schedule for themselves, and then they hold themselves to it. And so, but what I can't be focused on is like, okay, if you said you're going to spend an hour on this technique or on practicing this, but you only spend 45 minutes on it, then that's okay. That's better than not spending any time on it. You know what I mean? So It's going to take some work, though, to get there, but I don't think we can be perfect at it. I think that as long as they put it on paper and they organize their schedule, what you can do as a parent is know the schedule and know what they want to work on. And so if
be aware of it.
Yeah. So if they want to play an instrument, they want to be really good at it. Some of my kids love music. They actually can play by ear and things like that.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's like, okay, if you want to be really good at this, how are you going to get that done? And we have to organize the schedule, and then you have to know the schedule. So when it's like, hey, how much time did you get to work on your piano today? And they're like, oh, yeah, so I worked half an hour on it. It's like, oh. And in your mind, it's like, you scheduled an hour.
Right, yeah. What do you do when you think, oh, we can push them a little bit more, but...
To me, it's like, that's half an hour that we got done.
Okay.
It's just like, hey, that's a great job. I said, how much time are you going to get tomorrow? Or sometimes they'll combine it with, like, I only did half an hour because this happened.
Right.
But if you're so fixated on, well, what's the other half hour?
Yeah, you can see where I'm fixated on.
Yeah, well, that's...
Like, you said an hour. I'm just helping you.
But we have to be deliberate about it when we talk to them about it. It's like, okay, so you're going to praise them first. So we all like to be corrected, right? Everybody.
Yeah, I'd love it.
But we love praise way more. And so if you praise them for what they've done, and then you say, hey, where can we get better at it? How do you think you can get better at it? Or you allow them to be part of the solution that makes it easier.
Oh, that's great.
I say that with, I've tried the other ways before.
Right. Yeah.
It's just like, it's more frustrating. You know what I mean? But I want them to say, hey, you said you wanted to do this. It's like, but at the same time, they did half an hour. And that's half an hour that they wouldn't have scheduled before.
That's a good point.
You can't wing it. It's just, everything has to be deliberate.
It's so true. I'm just wondering if you just, parting words of just a piece of advice that you just wish that every young person could have, if you could just, you know, wave a magic wand.
Yeah. My advice to young people is it's okay not to be perfect. And it's okay to not be great at something. But it's also okay to just want to work for it, too. A lot of beautiful things can come from you trying. The hardest thing is, it's like that statement that they make in basketball, is that you might not make every shot, but you're going to miss every shot you don't take, you know? And so really would want them just to try their best. And it's okay to be rejected. It's okay to be turned down. And you just got to keep going.
Head coach Kalani Sitake's advice to young people is right in harmony with his advice for parents. Embrace the process of learning and failing, because the more comfortable you can get with the struggle without hiding or shying away from it, the further you'll get towards your goals. And you can be honest about how hard it is. Some of the most important lessons your kids will learn about resilience might come from your example rather than your direct coaching. Watching you give yourself grace and live your values, even when it's hard, and especially when you have to course correct for mistakes, will give them the model to use for their own lives long after they've forgotten what you've said. Because let's be honest, they've already forgotten what you said. And that's okay. It's all part of the process.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio. The Lisa Show is hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. This episode was produced by Becca Hurley Long, with help from Blake Morse and Kenny Mears, with post-production by Gracie Davis. A special thank you to our guest, BYU football coach Kalani Sitake. Don't miss out on two other great podcasts from the Lisa Show family, The Council of Moms and Proofread, a new book review podcast to help you read more of what you love. You can find The Council of Moms and Proofread on YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for your messages. We read them all. And thanks for listening.
Embark on a whimsical journey with The Appleseed from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. Immerse yourself in captivating stories expertly woven by talented storytellers. Join Sam Payne and the live studio audience in laughter and delight as we explore a tapestry of tales. Tune into The Appleseed for a family-friendly experience that really sparks imagination and brings stories to life. Your tickets to fun and creativity, The Appleseed. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.